wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
I'm Moses Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. Welcome to the big show, my family and friends. I'm Chris Voss, your host for the last 16 years of the Chris Voss Show. And never mind, I don't have a joke for it. I was going to say, that's not a threat. That's a good thing. So there you go. Anyway, guys, we always have the most amazing authors on the show. Be sure for the show to your family, friends, and relatives, or else, damn it, I just want to start the show with a threat this morning. I'm in that sort of mood, if you can't tell. We have the most amazing author on the show. She's the author of the newest book to come out May 7th, 2024. It's called The Ballad of Darcy N. Russell. Morgan Matson joins us on the show with us today. We'll be talking to her about her amazing book and all her insights and all the things you're going to love about this book, or else, darn it. This is a callback joke for the show. Lots of threats of violence. No, not of violence, just silly empty threats. She is the New York bestselling author of 6 books for teens, including Since You've Been Gone and Save the Date, and the middle grade novel The Firefly Summer. She lives in Los Angeles, but spends every summer in the Pocono Mountains. And she joins us here on the show. Welcome to the show, Morgan. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thank you so much for having me. And I love all the threats we're starting out with today. It's a great way to kick off the morning.
Yeah, I mean, there's something over coffee. It's good to be doing the threats. Threaten everyone during the day. Don't screw with me. I haven't had my coffee. So there you go. Morgan, what's a .com that people can go to find out more about you?
It's just morganmatson.com with information about all my books and tour dates and everything like that.
Ah, the tour dates. People can do that now after COVID. It's so nice.
Yes, it's fantastic.
So give us a 30,000 overview. What's in your new book?
So The Ballad of Darcy N. Russell, it's a YA book for teenagers, but you know, also adults might like it too. It takes place all in 24 hours. Darcy is a young woman who has always believed sort of in what the movies have sold her. She's always believed in love at first sight, and that when she met the right person, it would all be perfect. But right now, her life is anything but perfect. After a music festival, the bus she was going to take home broke down, and so she's stranded with very little cash, a dead phone, and no charger, and she's going to college the next day. But it then
like,
she looks...
It sounds like every day at Coachella. I'm sorry.
Exactly. But then she looks across the bus station and sees Russell, who's a boy her age. He's very cute, and he also needs to charge his phone. And so this kicks off sort of 24 hours of which they learn a lot about themselves and about each other. There's some twists and turns and surprises in there. And they sort of examine this idea of if you actually can fall in love with someone that quickly. And since they're both heading off to different colleges, is there any point in saying hello when you know you're going to have to say goodbye? And so that's The Ballad of Darcy N. Russell.
I love it. This should be a song. I think there's Swift or some Beyonce or somebody.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I'd love it.
Or, you know, who would this be? And maybe Simon Garfunkel can come back and do one.
Amazing.
The ballad, or who's that guy with the whiny voice? Bob Dylan. We could have him.
Oh yeah.
You know, that sounds very kitschy for maybe him or not, you know, really. But this sounds like a book for the times, because these young people, just about everybody nowadays live on their phones.
Yep.
And I run several singles groups, being single myself and unlovable, is which is true. People in the audience, yes, he is. No one can love him.
No.
But one of the jokes that we have is divorce yourself from your phone. Break up with your phone and get out and meet people, because we host meetups for singles where you can actually meet a human being instead of trying to meet one through your phone.
It's really true. Like this book and my last one, which was called Take Me Home Tonight, I got rid of the teen cell phones very early, just because it's really hard. I think, I mean, you can do it. I've done it before, but it's more fun to tell a story when you do have two people who have to interact together, solve problems, and can't Google each other, because they're both Darcy and Russell are sort of have some things about themselves they're not sharing right away. And I was like, oh, if they could immediately look on social media, you know, find out everything about this person, you wouldn't have any fun twists in the story. So yeah. it was definitely intentional that I got both of them don't have a phone for the first half of the story, because otherwise it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more fun that way, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a horrible plot otherwise. It'd be like, so how's it going, Darcy?
Hey, yeah.
Message coming in from the thing. Take Me Home Tonight is one of your other books. See, that's an Eddie Money song. You got an album here, I think.
I love the song title books, and I love that song. It's such a great song. Oh my gosh.
I grew up with Eddie Murphy.
So good.
Yeah, I rode. We did a tour bus to Coachella with someone who was in the bands in the 80s.
Wow!
And he used to tour with Eddie Money, so he told us a ton of Eddie Money stories. In fact, I have the list that what's called the Eddie Money list, or no, it's his list. I'll pull up the artist I'm referring to. It's his list, but one of the rules is the Eddie Money rule, and Eddie Money was notorious for running off at concerts and going home with some girl. The problem was, back then they didn't have cell phones.
Yeah.
And he would just leave with the girl. And so he'd be in some suburb of Chicago at some chick's house, and no one know where he's at. And of course, the tour bus has got to leave.
Yeah.
So the rule was never separate from the herd. So that was the Eddie Money rule.
That's funny.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You've written, is it 7 or 8 books?
7 YA novels and, or actually 8 YA novels and 1 novel for middle grade readers. I just had a different YA novel come out about a month ago that I did with Disney. And that one's called Prom Chanted, in which it's a bit of a retelling of the Sleeping Beauty story.
So tell us a little bit about your upbringing. What made you end up being a writer? When did you kind of first figure out you could write and started writing stuff?
I'm from the East Coast. I live in California now. And I was a huge reader. I always loved to write, but didn't think I would ever do it. Like, I was just one of those kids who could always write. And so I was always like writing my essay that it was due on the bus the morning that it was due. You know, I was sort of using some writing talent for nefarious purposes. And then I was really into theater and started writing plays in my high school's theater department. And when I got to college, sort of realized that I wanted to write books and write books for young people. And so I got a master's degree in that and worked in publishing for a while at Scholastic, and then have just been doing this full time for a while now.
There you go. And you're a hit. I mean, I see the reviews that you've got on Amazon and Goodreads, and you're killing it with young people.
It's really fun. And a lot of adults actually too, which is fun. Yeah. I think there's something about, I think, reading about like 17 or 18 year olds who aren't like dealing with mortgages and taxes, and you know, it's a bit escapist, I think, for some of my adult readers.
Yeah, a lot of women like beach reads and mm-hmm. going
totally.
You know, people kind of like that, Eric, is the best time in life, because I think of what you talk about. Then you know, there's no bills, there's mm-hmm. no tax man, there's no mortgages, yep. there's no divorces. It's kind of that good time in everyone's life.
Yeah, sometimes. And it's also the future is sort of bright and hopeful. You know what I mean? Like when you're 18, you haven't messed up so much that you wrecked anything usually.
Yep.
So it's always
just
fun.
Give up. You've broken everything. Just give up.
Yeah. It's also really fun to write for teenagers because everything's happening for the first time. You know, it's like the first time they're falling in love with someone or having a fight, and so it all feels very like heightened and immediate. So that's always a lot of fun. Whereas if you're writing for adults, I feel like everyone has their baggage and their past relationships, and you know, it's less sort of fresh and new.
You just described most of my dating groups for myself. seriously, it's just like they're bags of damage. About 50, they're showing up with U-Hauls. relationships on first dates, and you're just like, what are all the U-Hauls here for? Why is the 50-foot truck here? Oh, it's carrying my baggage. You're like, this is going to be a long coffee. Greg Kinn was the artist that I was referring to. We spent 9 hours going from San Francisco to Coachella with him in a bus sponsored by JBL, and he told us the most amazing stories about the Beatles, and he played with so many different people over the years.
But so cool.
He told us some really crazy Eddie Money stories that
he also passed away, didn't he, last year, Eddie Money? So probably best to let his story go with him. But how was Coachella? I've never been. I've always wanted to go.
It was crazy. It was hot and it was windy and dry, and I didn't like it as much because I'm a classic band, Metallica fan. And so I just kind of stood there the whole time and went, who the hell are these people? What's this noise they're making? But it was fun. But the stories he told us, and we brought a guitar and he played for us.
Oh, wow.
It was just epic stuff that we went through with him, and he played with the Beatles and Tom Petty. And,
wow, geez. You
know, he lived in that era of the 80s. And so he told us how crazy it was and the crazy
people in the band.
Yeah, Eddie Money was just, he was known for some debauchery. Let's just put it. So there was the Eddie Money rule that was on his list. Some of the other lists were do not eat road food on the bus or use the sit down part of the toilet on the bus. Mm-hmm. Do not eat the one of the rules was do not eat the canned pickles or the pickles or the pickled eggs. If you've ever been in some of those stops, they have a big jar of pickled eggs.
Yep.
So do not eat anything that will cause you to fill the bus with perfumes.
That's probably a good rule.
Yeah. We will kick you off the bus. If you any of these things, you will be removed from the bus. And then I guess you have to hitchhike to the events. So there you go. With the Ballad of Darcy and Russell, what made you, this is kind of a standalone book, right? There's no series.
Yes. Books. Not a series. Huh? Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
When you came up with the characters and the plot setting, I think it's really smart to make the phones turn off. Maybe you can make it a theme, because
I'd love it.
People don't get to know each other anymore. I don't have it ever happen with my dates. I have great dates, but I'm a good picker. But a big complaint I hear from people dating nowadays is, you know, they're on a date and they're just, you know, people are just glued to their phone still. They can't break up with their phone, and you're like, this is why you're single. So there you go. What's in the future for you with any books that you might be working on? Is there anything new that you've got cooking in the next year?
Yeah, so this one just comes out on May 7th, so I'm promoting that now, and then I'm working on my next middle grade novel for younger kids, so that'll be out probably not until 26. So yeah, so got some things stacked up. Yeah.
I'm just glad we've got kids reading stuff.
That's really important. it's really true. And it's really fun because it's the books for younger kids, and I've gotten to tour around to different schools and, you know, get to meet a bunch of kids, and they're so great. And so it's really, I love talking to kids and teens. It's always really fun, and it really is. I mean, kids get so excited and passionate when they're into something. So it's really fun to get to talk to them.
Yeah. And it's good for you to read. Everyone should read, damn it. Anytime I meet a person who doesn't read, I don't have a joke for that.
No, it's so true.
Yeah, I mean, it expands your brain. It's how you, absolutely. It's how we learn stuff. It's even if it's just entertainment or seemingly entertainment, it makes you sharper. We just had a neuroscientist on the show yesterday who talked about Alzheimer's dementia. And reading is one of the ways you can keep your brain active so that
that's awesome.
Sharp. Otherwise, you end up, I don't know, voting for certain parties. On the book, what do you hope people come away with from the book? Is there any message you want people to get, or do you just want them to enjoy themselves and have a good time?
I mean, I hope they have a good time. This was really inspired by, I actually went to Woodstock 99 when I was 17. Oh. And on the bus ride home, the bus broke down, and so we had to spend overnight in a bus station. And so this was very much inspired by my own 17-year-old experience. So I feel like I look back on that now, and we didn't have cell phones. There was no internet. And I'm kind of like, how did I figure that out? Like, somehow I did. I got home. It was okay. But it was fun to sort of throw these characters into a situation, take their phones away from them, and kind of, they get to sort of see what they're made of and what they're up against and figure that out. And it was a fun book because it was sort of, I love deconstructing something. And so it's fun to have a character who's, I believe in love at first sight, and it's going to be perfect. And then to sort of show her a little bit of what the reality is a little bit more like. And it's a very hopeful book, but I think it's also about kind of, sometimes we can come at something with preconceived notions of how it's supposed to be and who this person in my mind is. And then that it's a lot richer and more interesting when you get to grips with how things actually are and who this person really is, as opposed to my idea of them. And so I think it's a hopeful book, but it's also kind of a realistic book.
There you go. Maybe help some people go down the journey of learning about life, you know?
I think so.
I still find people in my singles group that they're still in their own private Idaho about what love is. And you're like, you've been divorced twice and you still have a single son? Like, this is a really simple manual of biology. But whatever fantasy you're living in your own private Idaho must be great, because you're nowhere near it. And then they're angry at you for waking you up to their fantasy they've built.
Yeah. But it's also, it's got a big like family component to it too, that both Darcy and Russell's families become a part of this. And I think it's that sort of moment when you're about 17 or 18 and you suddenly realize that your parents are actual people who had a life before you and aren't perfect, and you know, begin to see them more as actual flawed people. And so I feel like that was also an important part of the book. And I love writing about families as well, in addition to romance. So that was a lot of fun.
That's a real important part, because you know, what you're writing about is how those families get started.
And,
yeah. I mean, the families aren't usually the most perfect people. But I mean, that's how we are. We're kind of like a broken, wounded people, and we kind of figure it out, you know. We go dating and you're like, hey, I got a box of razor blades from childhood. What do you have? And they're like, I got a bag of glass, broken glass. All right, let's play together. I'm sure that'll be fine. But, you know, that's the trail of humanity, as it were.
It's true. Pretty much. It's true. And both.
Blood, broken glass and razor blades.
No, it's so true. And both Darcy and Russell are from more unconventional families. And so it was fun to sort of see them in the beginning when they're presenting everything as being perfect, that they're kind of like trying to push that part away from them. And then as they get to know each other more, it's sort of like, oh, this is actually the truth about my family, or the issues with my mother, or, you know, what it is. And because you can't sort of separate yourself from where you come from and who your family is.
I've tried. I've given them all my orders, my death, moved away, but
you've done everything you can.
Somehow my kids keep finding me. So I'm not sure. I think Mari's involved. I think that's the problem. This has been really insightful. Give us your .coms and final pitch out for people to pick up the book and find it wherever fine books are sold.
Sure. The website is morganmatson.com, and The Ballad of Darcy and Russell comes out May 7th online and at bookstores everywhere.
There you go. Thank you very much, Morgan, for coming on the show. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Chris. This was great.
There you go. Order her book wherever fine books are sold, folks. The Ballad of Darcy and Russell, coming out May 7th, 2024. Check out our other books as well. They are hot and people love them. I've been looking over the reviews. Thanks so much for tuning in. Go to goodreads.com, ForChessChrisVoss, LinkedIn.com, ForChessChrisVoss, ChrisVoss1 on the TikTokity, and all those crazy places on the internet. Bye-bye. And that's